Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Good Advice Podcast. Wherever you are in your business, you've tuned into the right place. We're going to be talking about how to grow and scale your business with not a lot of fluff on the show, but all the things that actually work in practice that you can use to grow your business. I'm your host, Blake Benz. We've been doing this show for, geez, I feel like every day this number gets bigger and bigger. We're getting close to 6 years. 6 years of doing good advice, of doing the Good Advice Podcast. And for those of you who've been with us long-term or short-term, you've joined the journey today, and I so appreciate you choosing to tune in to today's episode. We got a lot to talk about today. I want to talk about this referral check that took 2 years to get into my pocket, but it's arrived. It has arrived. I've gotten this check. I'm very excited to talk about this amazing example of great customer service and what you can be doing to turn your average buyer of your business into a raving customer of yours. We're going to be talking about that on the show today. But before we dive in, we do have a word from one of the amazing businesses that sponsor the podcast. Don't forget, if you like advertising your business on various channels, you can always advertise your company on the Good Advice Podcast. Just reach out, Blake, at goodadvicecoaching.com. And don't forget, if you're loving the podcast, you can drop us a review here, or you can go to our new business website at getpodcastable.com and leave us a review there as well. So appreciate it. We'll talk more about that when we start our episode here in a little bit. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. When disaster strikes in your home, do you know who to count on? I'm talking about when water damage, fire damage, or mold becomes a problem in your house. You need someone that you can trust who's going to get your house back in working order. That's why I love recommending Best Option Restoration here in Northwest Arkansas. Best Option Restoration is the perfect choice for when you need that initial response for damage in your home. They're a national leader here in our Northwest Arkansas community, and they are restoration specialists that can give you the peace of mind you need when you're facing the unthinkable. Your home is somewhere special, which is why you need someone who sees the value in your home and wants to get you taken care of as quickly and efficiently as possible. Best Option Restoration is so committed to helping you with your home that they have an answer line that's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, where you can talk to an actual person about getting a specialist out to your home and resolving whatever damages you're seeing in your house. So if you experienced fire damage, water damage, or discovered mold in your home, call Best Option Restoration today to restore your house back to the home you love. Call 479-458-8840 or click the link in the episode description to contact Best Option Restoration today. So let's do a little update before we dive into our conversation today. I mentioned, I guess it was last week or 2 weeks ago. I can't remember. The days are blurring now. We started Podcastable. A business that's all about podcast production and turning great podcast content into content for your social media accounts. So there's a lot to think about with this. And I've been even like resonating or really marinating, I don't know, doing some kind of aiding on this over the last couple of days, thinking about how it's interesting how, I don't want to say backwards, I've done this in the sense of when I started Good Advice, it was a consulting company for business owners. And what I had to do, the pain point that I started with was understanding that I was doing consulting services from someone who had just started their own business. I didn't have a reputation of, you know, this 7-8-figure brand that I created, and now I'm teaching everyone else how to do it. And also, I hadn't had this amazing, illustrious career either. That was one of the reasons why I started the podcast. One of the reasons why I started podcasting was I realized the need for more credibility so that people would know I wasn't this random Joe Schmo when it came to good business advice. And I even had times where there was a person I got on a sales call with. I could tell they were a little uncertain, and I'm also just a big giver of just, hey, here's what you got to do. Here's what I think, yada, yada. So I got on this conversation and I was talking to this person about, maybe it was like management or something. And I said, hey, I actually have a podcast and I have a podcast episode exactly about your issue, like to the T. Just go listen to that and it's going to solve your problem for you. Well, this person called me right back and they said, hey, I want to work together. Let's do it. And it was history from there, right? So the podcast was something that, you know, part of it was I have nothing better to do. And the other part of it was I need some oomph here to my brand for people to begin to trust me and know what I stand for, know what my perspective is on business, et cetera. So it was a bit backwards in that I started the business and then I had to sort of like build some of my acumen associated with that business. Acumen in the sense of 5-6 years ago, I didn't understand sales. I did not know a lot about sales. I knew leadership really well. And that's why a lot of my content from back then was primarily focused on leadership, on management. I had just come from this consulting company where that's mostly what we did was leadership and management work. But nowadays, you know, I've spent so much more time in the sales world and the marketing world, you know, thinking about how do you scale, how do you grow this thing that my content has evolved over time. And that's really normal in business, by the way. Your business is going to change over time. That's not a big deal. What's really interesting about Podcastable, and it's funny how these things, it's funny how you say something years ago and how it ends up popping up down the road. I don't really get this anymore because I don't really spend as much time with new, much more of my time is with like established business owners these days. But when I was first starting out, I'd find myself in a lot of conversations with very young business owners, aspiring entrepreneurs. The growth group that I do on Tuesdays, that attracted more side hustle people than today. Today's typically mostly independent business owners or people who support business owners like a banker, for example, or commercial lender or business development, stuff like that. So back then I'd get a lot of questions on, hey, what business, basically I'd sit down with someone and someone would say like, hey, I want to start a business. What business should I start? And if you even go back to like the very first episode of the podcast, I think the very first episode was basically, it was on the conversation of how people get this wrong. They say, what should I do? What business should I do? What industry should I do? And I put out that episode because it just felt like this was a common question. Like, hey, I want to be an entrepreneur. Now, what do I go do? The advice that I would give to people back then was, hey, you're really throwing darts and seeing what sticks. More importantly, if you don't think this through well, you're going to get yourself in a position where when you find yourself in the grind and the pain and the misery of, and there is all that and good in running a business, but it's not easy or else everyone would do it. It has a high, your business does not have a high success rate, statistically speaking. So naturally there are downturns and challenges and what have you. So the advice I give to people was, hey, worry less about the industry and instead really key in on a passion, an insight, something that's unique to you, what have you. And this has all been my long, drawn out way of explaining how it's funny how Podcastable is so much different from Good Advice in that Podcastable came out of the skill set of doing 650 podcast episodes, almost 6 years of podcasting, uploading regularly, creating content from that, teaching myself how to do all the video stuff and everything with it. And so now I'm taking this thing that I'm clearly passionate about. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing it for this long, right? This thing I'm clearly passionate about and simply monetizing it, simply saying, hey, there's a way to sell these services to people who want the work that I'm doing. All that to say, if you're thinking about starting a business, do it that way, as opposed to, I just want to own a business. What business should I do? And then frankly, when you do it the wrong way, when you're like, yeah, what business should I do? That's where you get people who, you know, they put tens of thousands of dollars into a restaurant. They have no restaurant experience. They go bankrupt. It's how you see people throwing money at the wall and confused as to why it's not working because they don't really understand their industry. That's why it's so valuable to let your interests, skill sets, and passions guide the business you create rather than I'll do this business and I guess I'll just figure it out along the way. So all that to say, it's been really fun to see Podcastable getting so much positive support. As of this episode, we have 25 reviews on Google, some very kind people, some customers, friends, just people who want to support the business. And I really do appreciate that. That's really helpful. But alas, that is not the topic of today's conversation. Today, I want to talk about this very interesting thing that happened to me. And if you really key into this story, this is a story of how someone deeply understands the value of a long-term happy customer. This is a story about someone who truly gets it when it comes to building a raving fan of your business who won't just buy from you, but will shout from the rooftops how great your business is. And I love these stories because they are rare. They don't happen often. Many times when we say we give great customer service, it's actually just expected customer service. There's nothing really special or meaningful about it. But the rare times that we truly come across amazing customer service, we can't help but talk about it. That's what I want to do today. So here's what happened. I had a friend of mine call me. A friend of mine called me a couple of years ago and he said, Blake, I'm frustrated. I'm trying to buy a brand new truck. I have cash on hand. And I think I was like driving past a dealership at the time. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm driving past a dealership. And he was like, Blake, I called that dealership. I left a voicemail. No one called me back. And I was like, really? And this is also like a pet peeve of mine too, by the way. It really drives me crazy when I call someone to give them a referral and like I have the customer ready to buy and they don't call me back. It really drives me crazy. And not like in like a, I don't hate the person. I don't have anything against the person. But it's just little things like this that I just think, man, sometimes we lose momentum for our business because we just haven't put the systems in place. When someone calls us, when someone emails us, when someone reaches out to us, do we have a process in place to allow the business to continue to operate well, or don't we? I'll never forget, there was a point where I was working for this old consulting company and I found out there was like an email, like a customer support email that I think it like came up offhand. And I was like, what is this email? And someone was like, I think that's like our business email. And we opened it up because everyone there had like their own, it was like blake@ourbusiness.com. But then this was like an info at or something like that. So I'm like, I wonder what's in here. So I open it up. There are like a dozen emails from people over months ago. Hey, we want to work with you. Hey, we want more info on this. Hey, yada, yada. And I thought, oh my gosh, all the lost opportunity here. So it really drives me crazy when I'm like, hey, I leave a voicemail to someone. I say, hey, I have a buyer. They're ready to buy. They need help. You know, give me a call back. And I do this with people who, by the way, I don't even know them. Like sometimes I have a customer who comes to me and they say, hey, Blake, I'm looking for this. I don't know who to call. And I'll say, yeah, I don't know who to call either, but I'll find out. And then I, you know, maybe I Google or maybe I ask a friend for a referral. Well, I'll call that person then and be like, hey, nice to meet you. I have a customer who wants to buy from you, connect with them, et cetera. But it drives me crazy when I'm like, hey, hello, my name's Blake, yada, yada. And I never hear anything back. So my buddy was talking about this truck and he was like, man, yeah, that dealership didn't get back to me. In fact, I've called three different dealerships and none of them have returned my call. Like, I'm literally just trying to buy this truck. So I had a friend of mine, Toyota Tony. If you go to any local networking events, you've met Tony. She's amazing. She's been in the networking space for forever. Just a really well-known person in our local community. So I give her a call and I say, hey, Tony, this is random. I have a friend of mine. He wants to buy a truck. Can you help? And by the way, I love when people do this. I love when people say, no problem, I'll make it happen. You have to understand when people buy from you, they appreciate simplicity. Sometimes when people buy from us, we insert complexity because our ego demands it, or we think we're exuding our expertise. You know, well, here's what you really got to think about. If you're going to get a truck, I mean, yada, yada, person just wants a truck, right? So I love how simple Tony made it. Tony goes, hey, what's his number? What's his contact? I'm going to get him taken care of. So I hear back from my friend a few hours later and he says, hey, do you want to see my truck? And I'm like, heck yeah, let's see your truck. He brings the truck over. Beautiful, gorgeous truck. Beautiful truck. My neighbor actually has the exact same truck today. And she, I had to borrow it. And the truck's awesome. Exact same kind of truck. Anyway. So I got distracted because all of a sudden I was like, why am I talking about my neighbor's truck? You know, am I going to mention every instance of seeing this truck? So that's the random pause there. Anyway, so I'm like, well, how did it go? And he was like, Blake, it was awesome. I called them. They asked me where I lived. They said, hey, we'll send someone down to get you right now. And someone drove from Bentonville down to Fayetteville, picked him up and drove him up to the dealership to pick out the truck. Now, part of this is, I mean, let's be real. Part of this is a little bit of a sales tactic, you know, in the sense of, now, would they have stranded him if he didn't buy a truck? Not at all. But think about, this is also like, if you've never read the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, this is a great tactic from that book. And I genuinely mean tactic. There's nothing sleazy about it. It's about understanding that the very smart businesses know how to get what they want by presenting it in the best interest of their customer. So, hey, you want to buy a truck? Let us come down and pick you up. We'd love to chauffeur you up, take you up, let you see the sights. And if things aren't a good fit, we'll bring you back. No big deal. Well, the sales tactic is you're giving someone great customer service. First of all, you're giving them a ride, but also, I mean, it's like, hey, we're bringing you up here. The implication is you're probably going to be driving back in a brand new truck. And that is in fact what happened. Anyway, getting to the crux of the story. A few weeks later, I get a check in the mail for $100. And the memo is like, you know, for Alex's truck, my buddy's truck. So this dealership cut me a check for $100 for the truck. By the way, you should always do referral checks, referral payments. And it doesn't have to be large. Just doing it enough is a very kind gesture. It's a, hey, thank you for doing that. I always try to give money or gift cards or what have you to people who send me business. I even had someone one time send me a 4-figure check for business I gave them. And I gave the business kind of offhand. I didn't realize how meaningful the business was going to be in terms of the size of the amount. And this person wrote me a four figure referral check, and it floored me. I just thought, wow, that was extremely generous. But it's always a nice gesture. It's a nice gesture when you take the time to recommend someone to someone else and they say, hey, thank you for doing that. I really appreciate it. Besides the point though. So I get this check in the mail, $100. And in classic form, I realize about 2 weeks later that I have lost that check. I don't know what happened to it. It was on my desk and who knows, it disappeared, walked away. So I call the dealership, and here's how easy it is for your business to go from creating a raving fan to creating an indifferent one-time exchange. This is why this is so important for your business, for everyone to be on the same page. So I didn't want to bother Tony. I thought, you know, she's in business development. I don't want to hound her for this referral check. Let me just call the dealership directly. So I call the dealership. I talk to this guy. We'll just name him Carl. Okay. Talk to Carl and I say, hey, Carl, hey, I got this referral check and I lost it. Can I get another one? And he goes, oh man, I don't know if we can get you. And honestly, the vibe I got from him was, I'm really busy and I don't want to deal with this. That was honestly the vibe I got. But I was like, yeah, I mean, if you could check into it, I'd appreciate it. I mean, I know it's not a lot of money, $100, no big deal. But if you can check on it, I'd appreciate it. He was like, okay, yeah, I'll check on it. Well, a few weeks go by, I never hear from this guy. He never calls me back. I don't even remember him taking my name down. Like, I feel like this person was like placating me and being like, yeah, sure, I'll take care of it. So I call again and I get the same guy. And he's like, yeah, what, who are you? What can I do? And I was like, well, we've actually spoken before. Hey, I'm trying to get this check and you said you'd check on it for me. I didn't hear from you. Can I get that check reissued? And he goes, oh yeah, sorry. Nope, we can't. I can't reissue it. I apologize. Which I thought, okay, yeah, can't reissue it. Again, not a big deal. I didn't send the business for the referral check. I sent the business because I was genuinely trying to help my friend out. And it's, he had a great experience and that's all that matters. It's whatever. Who cares? So I let it go. That was 2 years ago. This past November, which was, I mean, a while ago, this past November, I get a phone call. And I usually don't answer the no number calls or the no, the random 479 calls. Because these days, it's always someone who wants me to, you know, validate my Google account or what have you, whatever scam there is. I pick up the phone and this person says, hey, this is Trisha with Landers Toyota. And I say, hey, how are you? What can I do for you? And she says, hey, I'm in accounting and I think she was in accounting. But she says, I'm looking here and I see that we sent you a check 2 years ago and you never cashed it. And I say, that's true. I got the check. I lost it. I called. I was told I couldn't get another one. So I just kind of let it go. And she laughed and she goes, we can give you a new check. It's not a big deal. So I was like, okay, sure. I'll take the check. Yeah. She gets my address and, you know, whatever. Well, the check never arrives. I think I threw it away, honestly, because I know she got the right address. So I think that maybe I thought I was going through mail and maybe threw it away. Or who knows what happened, right? Well, I never got the check. So that was in like November. It's around like January, February, where I think maybe I saw like Tony on like social media or something. And I thought, oh, I'm going to call them and be like, hey, I never got that check. I mean, which I wouldn't have even said anything, but you guys reached out to me. So I thought I'll give them a phone call. Well, I couldn't remember the person's name. I couldn't remember Trisha's name and I couldn't remember her number either. So what did I do? I called the dealership directly. And wouldn't you know it, I got Carl basically on the phone. And I'm like, hey, yeah, calling about this referral check. And it was 2 years. And I feel like kind of a dork. I'm like, hey, I'm looking for this check from 2 years ago. You know, I said, what a weird thing to ask for. Excuse me. And as I've come to expect from this person, and it wasn't actually him, it was a person like near him, and they were like, well, I'm gonna ask Carl and see what he says. And I get told like, we're going to look into that for you. And I'm like, okay, whatever. Naturally, I never heard anything back from these people. So I'm 0-for-3 and working with Carl. And once again, I'm just like, you know what? It's whatever. It's not a big deal. Who cares? It's $100. So that was in February. 2 months later, I get a phone call. Another 479. I'm driving and look at my phone. Again, I don't ever really answer these. I answer the phone. Hello. Hey, it's Trisha with Landers Toyota. We talked in November about this check and I still see if you haven't cashed it yet. And and I was like, Trisha, hi. It's so good to hear from you. I've been, you know, I never got it or maybe I'd lost it. I don't know. And she was like, well, here's the address I have. And I was like, that's my address. So I guess I threw it away and I told the story this morning by the way, at an event, and my friend Blair was like, if I ever need to pay Blake, because Blair's a customer of mine, if I ever need to pay Blake, I'm just going to send it in the mail. Cause clearly the checks never get cashed. Right. So I will say, as a random aside, it's actually very rare that anyone ever pays me through check. So you can just blame the millennial in me, I guess. But anyway, so she's like, hey, I see you didn't cash this check. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think I ever got it. And she's like, okay, here's what I can do. I can leave the check at the front desk at our Landers Toyota, and you can pick it up, and it'll be easy, right? And I was like, okay, great. That sounds awesome. Here's what I love about this story. I love this person, first of all. What an amazing display of customer service. This is someone who, and honestly, here's the big picture of this. I sent them someone who bought a truck from them, way more than $100, right? That person then, this last year, went and bought another truck from them because they had such a great experience the first time. So two trucks now bought. Landers Toyota has made their money. The money's in the pocket. And they could easily continue just to do business and not think anything about it. But instead, here is someone who is so keen on thanking people who referred them business that for 2 years later is still reaching out to say, you didn't cash the check we gave you. I love this story because of how incredibly rare it is for a business to show that kind of intentionality. It's incredibly rare for a business to go out of their way past the limits of what's expected. We're talking over 2 years to thank someone for the business they gave them. A lot of times on the podcast, we talk about, you know, the things that matter in business. And I got to tell you, I keep coming back to these very simple things of just understanding how to take care of people, how to be authentic, and how to be intentional. I think that statistic about businesses failing is so inflated because we spend all our time and energy on having great marketing when we simply don't do good business. We spend all that time on an amazing website. It's got a great design to it. It loads fast. It represents the brand well. But your customers don't have a positive experience with you. I've known people to do business where their perspective is basically, I got my money. I'm moving on. And the problem is, it shows a deep misunderstanding of how to grow and scale a meaningful business. I've told this story many times on the show, but it's the premise of how I do business. So it comes up again and again. This guy by the name of Kevin Kelly wrote an article called 1000 True Fans. And the whole premise of his article was, do you want $1 million business? If so, how many customers do you need to get in your business's lifetime to hit that $1 million mark? The answer, it's not a math equation. The answer is, on average, 1,000 true fans. It's the name of the article. And this has been a concept that has been repeated and repackaged in a number of ways and other different like snazzy book titles, but it all comes back from this concept. It's understanding that your cost to acquire a new customer will always be higher than selling to a customer you already have. It will always be more expensive to get a brand new customer than to simply sell to who's already buying from you. And this isn't about, a sponge. This isn't about like wringing your customers for all they're worth. It's about understanding that when you take the time to really wow a customer, where you actually, we love to talk about over-delivering, yet so few people are actually over-delivering. But when you actually go out of your way to over-deliver, to do the things that the contract didn't call for, to show intentionality, to treat your customers in a way that they say, wow, no one's ever treated me this way. Wow, no agency, no business, no company has ever done that for me. When you do business well, that person is going to buy again. They're going to ask you, are there ways we can work together again? I've had customers over the years who've insisted on giving me more money. I don't mean like insisted like, okay, what's next? But like they've paid up their invoice and they say, hey, I want to send you some more cash. I want to send you another check. I am so happy with our work together. I've had people out of their own volition do that. Now, I don't always do it well. I've had customers where I blew it. I've had customers where I'm like, how did I navigate this customer so poorly? Like, how did we get mismatched or misaligned? But overall, because of the way I do business, I've had some really stinking great customers who, even if they don't buy from me again, they make incredible marketers for me. They make incredible salespeople for me because, they know how amazing it is to work with someone who's trusted and who simply does good work. I'll never forget, I was out to dinner with someone. My wife and I were on a double date. And we had just taken our dog to the vet. And I was like shopping around to like different vets. You know, I was trying to find one that really cared about my dog. And I had gone to one where it was like concrete walls, concrete floors. It kind of just felt like a herding cattle. It just didn't feel right. And very cold and impersonal. And I was worried about my dog. And I don't know. We went to this other one and I had a really great experience there. Very friendly, very kind. I really liked it. Still our vet today, by the way. Well, coincidentally, we're on this double date. This is after I've gone to this new vet. And I ask, you know, hey, what do you guys do? And the woman, she was like, well, I do this now, but before I worked at a vet practice. I said, oh, which one? And she says, the one that is the new vet for me. So I was like, well, what'd you think about it? You don't work there anymore. What'd you think about it? And she goes, man, it was my dream job. They are simply the best. That was years ago that she said this to me. 5-6 years ago. I still shop there today. I still bring my dog there today because of the power of someone else's recommendation for the kind of business that they do. That's the value of doing well with your customers, even if they never buy again. They probably will, but even if they never do, that's the value of doing good business. An easy concept, yet few people will actually do it. Few people will do right by someone even 2 years later. But that's why they say, you know, reputations, they take a long time to build. It takes a long time. There's no overnight answer to it. There's not a class you can take. There's not a, hey, just buy my course and I'll teach you how to do it. There's no one simple thing you can do to make it happen. It's built over time. It's built over a multitude of opportunities to show your integrity and your values and your character and the way you do business. It only happens with time. So get in there and make it happen, right? Anywho, hey, I so appreciate today. If you enjoyed this episode and you're local, I know we have a lot of people who aren't local, but if you're local, give a shout out. Reach out to Toyota Tony Lugent, and let her know how much you appreciate the way she does business. She's all over the place around here. She does such a great job. Many people know her, but I've been so happy with her and Trisha Nelson with Landers Toyota. So be sure to pass that along to them. So Hey, thanks for listening today. Don't forget, if you ever want to advertise on the show, you can always reach out, blake@goodadvicecoaching.com. Be sure to leave us a review here or on our new podcast production website, getpodcastable.com. You can leave that review on our Google Business page. All that to say, we're done. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week with more good advice. See you later.